another episode, brand new episode of Hip Hop Soiree. You got me, DJ Goose.
Bobby.
And we're here to talk about we have three topics to go over. So we're going to go over stuff about DaBaby, which is fairly new mainstream-wise. And then we're going to talk about a certain rapper's top five female MCs of all time. And then the last one we'll talk about once we get there. So let's just dive right into this. So
yeah, the reason I wanted to talk about these two is because I follow, and I've said it in one of our earlier podcast episodes, that I like the XXL Freshman of the Year. And both of these two that we'll first kind of talk about are, again, newer because I found them on XXL. They've been around for years if you look at their discography. But DaBaby, obviously being one of them, he has quite a bit of controversy surrounding him, as is kind of the norm, I guess, for many hip-hop artists. And they're interesting because I think, other than maybe one scenario that we'll cover, are avoidable.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one. Again, if you don't know him, again, he was featured on the Freshman of the Year for 2019 on XXL, but their criteria for it is odd because, like you said, he's been there for a while, but he's just...
He's had quite a few albums. I want to say he has like four albums, literally studio albums, but he hasn't recently gotten the notoriety until recently. And I think it's from his album called Blank Blank. He's from North Carolina.
Is it the first major one from Charlotte, right? I think that's what I was told.
And so he, in the album art, is just orange in the background, and he's wearing the Charlotte Hornets jersey from the NBA, and then a hat. I actually like it because I like the NBA, but that's the album I think that put him up. I think the biggest song he had was called Shug. That's the one that started getting him recognized.
Yeah.
Which it references Suge Knight.
And that's what I thought when I first heard. I was like,
He said young EO, or CEO, young CEO like Suge.
Yeah. I'm like,
Which isn't someone you want to be associated with.
If you don't know anything about Suge Knight, I mean, you can watch some stuff. You can watch some movies. Like they mention him a little bit in Straight Outta Compton, which I think they depicted like how bad of a person he is really well in the short time that he's in that movie. But yeah, he's a terrible person. I don't know why he aspires to be like him or why he named that song, but... I mean, that's beside the fact. And he's come up with Shook. He's come up with Walker, Texas Ranger, and a song called Pony, and a song called Babysitter.
Babysitter's actually pretty good, and that one, I like that one. But he has the one called 21. That's probably my favorite one.
Okay. I like the video. The video was funny because he does a parody of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It was just kind of, it was like very like in your face with like his references. I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of more.
Is that the one with Quavo? Because he doesn't have too many features.
He has one with Offset. I think it's that Babysitter.
Oh, it's not Quavo. Offset's the one.
It's Offset's with, yeah. So, I mean, there's reasons why they have him on there to check him out. I think he's actually pretty good. I think he changes a lot the dynamics in a lot of the songs that he has. He's not like my flavor of rap, but...
Honestly, not mine too. 21 is the song I first heard from him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of almost like a party beat.
Yeah.
He has kind of the mumbling essence in it, but it's clear words. At least I understand them. I just like the cadence of the beat, how it's more upbeat.
Yeah.
And it's not the typical, the production's better. So, and that's funny because it will, again, tie into lyrics versus the production of the instrumentation value. But he has another song, Baby Jesus Remix, with Boozy Badass. And... I'm a big Boozy fan,
yeah,
so the fact
are.
That Boozy's in it, I'm a fan of the song.
No, yeah, so, I mean, go check him out if you like him or not, but let's talk about his controversies, because he's had three major ones.
Yes.
And they've all been big, if you talk to anyone in rap or know anything about him. So I want to talk about the shooting one, because that's the one that I think people give him a lot of, like, rap about, but he's like, he shouldn't, at least from what I've heard from him and from the statements I've had from the police. But basically what happened was, he was at a Walmart, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if there was a shooting happening or there was something happening directly to him, but
it happened directly to him.
Okay.
He claims, and it seems to check out, because a lot of there was a witness, I guess, and the witness never reported, so they kind of dropped the charge actually. And I wouldn't know why Walmart wouldn't have video footage to kind of prove it. But he said some guy ran up on him and basically was going to try and kill him. And he was with his daughter and the baby mama at the time. And so he said, you know, he did what he did, drew first, killed him. And that's really what it came down to. what he ended up getting charged with was concealed weapon. Mm-hmm.
Which is a misdemeanor.
Yeah, which is just a misdemeanor in North Carolina. But that's what it came down to. And I think what you were mentioning, and I agree, I don't think I'd give him gripe for it. Because if it's self-defense, and in this case, I think it definitely was, if the story checks out,
yeah,
then I can't blame him for it one bit.
And I think he I think he got unsupervised probation. I think it was for this one or one of the other countries.
I think that's he's literally allowed to roam freely and do what he needs to.
Yeah. So this one, I can give him. I'll defend him more because, I mean, in a situation like that, like if you have the means, the weapons to stop someone who could kill you and or your family, like I'd draw first.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah. As of this recording, he had, like Poppy said, he had not been charged or even allegations towards any type of manslaughter or murder or anything like that. It was only the concealed weapon. So like that one is fine. I think it just blew up because it was in a public place.
Well, naturally, it's Walmart. Yeah. Who's not at Walmart? There's had to have been tens of people in there at the same time where you would hear a gunshot. Obviously, it's loud unless he had a silencer on it, which that would be a felony, in my opinion. But yeah. I'm sure he didn't have a silencer on it.
No.
So the fact that it happened in such a public space, he was with a one-year-old baby and the baby's mother. I mean, you'd have to. You have to give him the benefit of the doubt if, again, the story checks out.
The person who was deceased is Jalen Craig, and he was 19 years old. That might also play into a part of it because the person who was trying to supposedly kill him was very young. So there's just so many things that went around him. But again, I really don't feel like he should get any type of like bad credit about this because I know if anyone would do the same, I think, in the situation.
Yeah. So. And looking at the story, you have it up too. I guess he had his son with him as well. So it wasn't just, not that one would be less significant than having two children with you, but you could imagine the kind of pressures as a father, yeah, what he would go through to make sure his kids are safe. Because even him firing the gun, as he mentions here, my daughter could have been hit, and so could have my son. So,
yeah. So, and it does say here, it does confirm that the video footage does support his story and his.
Oh, son. Perfect. Yeah.
So, yeah. So no issues there. I mean, again, it was a huge controversy just because it's Walmart and all the circumstances and people involved just made it blow up. So that's one. Again, we can defend that one. Then he has two, different ones about people getting injured either by him or allegedly by someone from his crew. So let's talk about the one where he actually did the damage.
The assaultee, I guess.
So in this one, if I remember correctly, there's a video that popped up where this rapper was basically throwing shade at him in Louis Vuitton store. Like, from what the video I saw on Twitter is, he's like holding up kind of like in a selfie pose, and he like turns around to where you see the baby in the back, and he just starts saying like, just stupid crap.
Just talking mess.
Yeah. And the baby didn't want to take any of that crap, so he went in and just beat the crap out of him.
Yeah. And the guy's name was Cam Coldheart. Again, as you mentioned, it was a local rapper. And the funny thing is, he had his pride or his ego also. I don't know if it was just one-on-one. Cam Coldheart claims, and he put it on, I think, Instagram, is what I read, you know, it wasn't just the baby that I fought him and his security, and all they did is they kept me pretty, with the exception of a few scratches. Uh-huh. So he's basically saying, you didn't even do much to me. But there was a video of him with his pants pretty much down, and the baby's like, again, talking mess, and there's on two instances, like before and after the fight too, talking shit on him. And then he even made a shirt to merchandise that specific fight, and he's making money off of it.
It's actually a pretty funny shirt. You see this lady who's a worker. She's like, sir, your belt. And you see him there, the pants down. I think he crapped his pants, and him looking like he won like the title fight.
Yeah, he has his hands wrapped like a boxer with the belt. And it's actually a funny shirt. I wouldn't buy it because I'm not into that. But
there's yeah, so I don't know if there's been any official charges on him. Because I don't think Cam Coldheart has done anything.
No, and in the community for hip hop, it would be different, right? Because if he's supposed to be this hardcore thug, then if he tries to press charges, it's kind of a, you know, just a bitch move.
Yeah.
So he's not gonna put his credibility on the line. So instead, he went onto Instagram and talked mess. So all this stuff is funny. I prefer beef on wax, which in this case, obviously, it's digital. But
yeah,
for all intents and purposes, just. beefs like this are funny, like this drama. I prefer it to be in a song because now I have something to listen to that might be clever. But I figured we'd bring this up because it's kind of funny still.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't happen too often. Like, it's just funny when someone tries to go then try to, like, diss you, and then ultimately you're the one that gets the worst part of it. And you try to be like, no, man, he didn't do much to me. It's like, your jaw's, like, dislocated. No, it wasn't that bad.
Well, he included this incident in the video, and I think it was the Shug, video. Yeah. Shug.
I think so, too.
He shows the guy, like, that incident was reenacted for the dramatization. So it was just funny.
Yeah, so, I mean, and I mean, people are fighting, like, should he have done that? Should he have been that aggressive in a store? Again, it's in a store again.
It's so his reality. I mean, yeah. Who knows? And it's funny because it's a rich store, right? It's Louis Vuitton. People that don't have money aren't going to go there. And people typically associate people that are poor or people that are thugs or whatever can't afford that kind of stuff. Obviously, this guy can. So, basically, you don't typically see a person of that background in a store like that. So the fact that something violent went down is like, oh my God, they shouldn't be allowed here, or whatever the case may be. But this is where I said it could have been avoidable. He could have just looked at him and was like, you're trying. Like, you know what? Ignored him, maybe said something else to take it to physical violence. I mean, that's his choice, but.
Yeah, I mean.
Got him in check, whatever.
I don't think you should have, but I think, like, the hood in people, they're like, it doesn't matter. You know how that saying that says, like, yeah, you can take the person out of the hood, you can't take the hood out of the person, or you can use anything in whatever context. And this is very true in this one. Like, he doesn't want to be like, you know, if someone's dissing me, I have to retaliate. I can't look the other way.
Yeah, and you never know, because, I mean, again, there may have been things that you don't see on the video where maybe his safety was threatened. So by him attacking first, anyone else that may have been backing up Cold Heart maybe ran, you know, dipped or whatever the case may be. But it's pretty funny.
Yeah, so it's whatever. And then the final one, so this is the one that has had the most traction, has had tons of people talking about it. So this happened at a concert. It was in Massachusetts? So it was in Massachusetts. So the story goes from him, and his name is Don Trag. So the story goes is that he wanted to go and have a picture with the baby, I think, before he went on, or one of them went on, and he said no, and Don Trag kept insisting. And then at that point, when he kept insisting, the baby's crew or security guard went and basically, like, beat him up to the point where he went into a coma.
Yeah, the injuries caused brain swelling and his neck to swell, so he was in a coma for several days. I checked to see the status of his condition, and I guess it was 6 days after, something like that, he was in very stable condition, so he's meant to have a full recovery from what I read.
Yeah, there's been tons of, like, other little things, too, because his mom, Don Trag's mom was saying, like, oh, he's going to die.
Yeah.
Basically, and so, and then a few days later, he, like I say, became stable. So a lot of people were also, like, questioning that, like, how, like, was he really going to die, or was he still in the coma? Either way, coma is bad.
Yeah. Coma is not a natural state for a human to be in, right? That's not a sleep method. No. That's death's door, really.
He's not resting.
No.
He's fighting to stay alive. And so anyway, so that happened. There's video footage of the beating.
I watched it. It's pretty bad.
It's horrible. And so the baby's, like, version of it is, like, he was, like, being threatened again. Like, he was trying to, his life was in danger.
Yeah. This is the one where I, for sure, if what was stated, like, asking for a picture is not threatening at all. And from the video, the guy was by himself. And third, this guy was supposed to open for the baby.
Yeah.
So if he's an opener, obviously you shouldn't let your guard down. Your security should be kind of alert and well aware. But, you know, pat him down, let him get to, I don't know what the case may be, but for a photo to beat him that severely, had he pulled a knife or a gun, okay, I get it, a severe beating, you want to protect your client as a bodyguard, but a photo, maybe rough him up a bit, right? Push him, choke him a little bit just to kind of get him out of the thought process,
and then just
shove him away and just be like, get out of here before it gets worse.
Yeah, and
they resorted to immediate kicking and punching, and, like, one of the security guards had to have been, like, 6'7" and 320 pounds, just a beast.
It's just ridiculous, and again, there's been, I guess there hasn't been any official comment on the baby's team. I know, like, in the story here, WXL has reached out from the baby's team for a comment, but they, as of right now, they haven't received anything. And what they're looking at is Don Trag is wanting to get his hospital bills covered. So there's $30,000 right now that he has, and he's expected to have $75,000 more in bills. So he's suing for all that damage.
Yeah.
So it's...
On top of that, though, DaBaby is getting sued by the event organizer. I think they're called Nothing to Something Entertainment.
Uh-huh.
And they say that because he was a no-show to the concert because of this incident, their statement was they recognized that he felt he wasn't safe, so he had to leave. They said, what if we rescheduled the show? There's no damages, right? They seem pretty fair. I guess he never reached out to reschedule or anything, so now they're pursuing some recompense for the fact that he ditched the show.
And what's going to happen now is that if he is charged with this or anything like that, he's breaking that probation that he has for a year of not having any type of charges against him. So
yeah,
he's going to be in hot water. This all happened like in the span of like 6 months. Like, I think he like, when did the college, when did the freshman list go up? Was it like in...
I don't remember when it went up. I just read it the other day.
Okay. I think if I know the time occurred, I think in February, late January is when he like was being recognized and signed. And I think from Interscope, if I remember correctly. So in the span of like 6 months, like he's had, I think his album was like number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100s. A lot of people are praising him, you know, to for someone to look out to. But now he already has all these controversies.
Yeah, like it's going to catch up to him.
Yeah.
And that goes back to kind of what 6ix9ine, not to do that, but they're going to be watching you. You're in a position of they don't like you. They'll use anything and everything against you. And he put on the video, again, showing him beating up the guy. He's standing in the background watching his crew beat up the other crew. I guess the Walmart story checks out, so I don't think anyone should be able to hold that against him.
Yeah, no.
But, I mean, he did have the citation. It's still a misdemeanor with a firearm, like a concealed weapon. So that doesn't necessarily work in his favor either.
Well, that's why he got the probation.
Yeah, that's why he got the probation. But now they'll get you on anything and everything they can.
Listen to Fat Joe. Come on.
Yeah, Fat Joe knew exactly what he was talking about. Dodge the pen just like everybody else that has before you. It's just, it's not worth it. Basically, in their position, they got to do nothing or have a fall guy. Right, yeah. You can't be the person to be doing it.
And now, like, I really hope he reconsiders, like, changing and not being all this hood. Because there are rappers that were like that and now they're fine. Like, Jay-Z, like, well, it was like, now he's, like, nothing like that. He's, like, a...
He's a philanthropist. Yeah. I mean, you can't be. If you're worth a billion, you can't go to the hood you were raised in because... At the end of the day, someone in there is going to think money over everything and that like they don't care where you came from. You have something they want and they're going to get it by any means necessary, or they don't respect you because you're not from around there. Whatever the case may be, it's just you at some point you have to mature and get out because you can't relate to that anymore.
Yeah, and just be smart. And I think that's a downfall overall in rap with a lot of rappers. They can't separate the two, or they don't want to, and that's why they don't stick that long. So.
That's why I think 50 fell off really quick in terms of he had his massive success with like basically gangster type music, right?
Yeah.
Get Rich or Die Trying, pure street thug type of album. Get Rich or Die Trying, or sorry, the other one after
Massacre.
And just progressively, he still had that same attitude and mentality, but that was on its way out. Backpack rap or whatever was getting in, party type rap was getting in. And he never evolved to change it, and no one cares anymore. At least at that time, they didn't.
Well, like he just became irrelevant.
Yeah, he never evolved with the music.
He had Curtis that came out.
That was awful.
Anything. Yeah, business wise, he also done terrible stuff. But again, we can talk a whole nother day about 50 Cent's failures because there's too many to talk about. Let's talk about Megan Thee Stallion. So,
she's real cute too.
Yeah, so
I like her.
About 2 or 3 weeks ago. She was on. It's on the crew show, is what it says here, and they asked her what are her top 5 female MCs of all time. So not asking her who she thinks like outside of herself, but she's like these are the 5 that she thinks are the best. So I don't think it's in this order, because I don't know if she thinks she's number 1. She might, but she named off Lil Kim, Missy Elliott, Eve, Foxy Brown, and then herself as the top 5 female MCs.
I'm pretty sure it's not exclusively in that order.
I don't think so, too. I haven't heard much of her music, so I don't know where I would place her in this. Based off of the information that I have, she wouldn't be number 1.
I wouldn't put her in top 5 yet. I do like her delivery style a lot. I don't like the beat selection one bit. Mm-hmm. There's very few songs where the beat, I think, matches really well with her delivery style. But again, she's newer, so I don't know if it, as she continues to get more fame, maybe she'll be able to, she'll have better access to maybe more unique producers. I really think that she could have some really good sounds or songs. And the funny thing is Drake co-signed her basically by appearing on a picture with her or two pictures with her. And we know how Drake co-signs go.
Yeah.
Even if it's just one big hit, it's good. Because the one big hit ones are basically I Love McConan. He has that Tuesday song.
Yeah.
Then the other one's Blockboy JB or whatever his name is. He had that just the one song.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people kind of forget that he also co-signed on The Weeknd, who's a massive artist. And he also co-signed on The Migos, which yep. was years upon years ago. And we know how well, even though I don't think The Migos is amazing, but they have phenomenal success.
Yeah.
Phenomenal success. So we'll see how it goes. And hopefully we'll see a collaboration from the two. Mostly raunchy sex stuff, to be honest, is the kind of lyric she has going for her. But she has a good delivery style. Like I said, I like the way she raps. What she talks about is, in a way, her own unique sense and experience. Very, very, what would be the right word? Braggy? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess braggy.
So I think she just needs better selection of beats, but I don't agree with her top five. And I like that. I think we were talking about this before we were recording. Hip-hop is so unique, and this is, again, one of the reasons I love it. I think it's the only genre, really, where you can have someone who thinks these five people or whoever or the one person is the best, and another person would heatedly argue with you why that person is not, and this is the person that needs to be number one. And then with reasonable people, you can be like, oh, I can see why you think that person's number one, but this is the person I think is... So it's like always a very opinionated genre where
right.
people flocked to Twitter after her comments saying things like, I can't believe you disrespect Queen Latifah, because obviously she's legendary. People are always on Minaj, so they think that Minaj should have been on there. Trina's another one, The Brat.
Remy Ma.
Remy Ma. I definitely agree with Remy Ma.
It's funny just how many people could possibly in there, but it's also interesting. There's not a huge bucket to pick out of.
There really isn't. There's not longevity when it comes to being a female rapper.
No.
Which is funny that was the way it's phrased, because which would be a unique topic altogether, saying when I ever think of my top 10 or even 20, I'm going to fully admit there's not a single female up there.
No, mine either.
And maybe not by choice, and maybe I'd have to reevaluate it, but literally I can't think of top 10 where I would think this female definitely... I can say they probably deserve to be there, but I guess maybe if I say favorite, a female is definitely not my top 10 favorites.
I guess it's hard because of the male dominance in rap and what we associate rap with, which is funny, is that you correlate it with rock, which is sex, money, drugs, and all that stuff. And for whatever reason, sometimes when women try to rap about the same thing, you're just like, ugh. Because, like, you talk about, you know, a guy talks about, like, oh, you have, like a big pun, he talks about his dick, he can measure with six rulers or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if a woman tries to talk about, her women, I can't even say her women parts, it's just like, that's weird.
Well, that's one of her lyrics. It's on a... I think it's Cash Shit, which is funny because Cash Shit has DaBaby as a feature, and I actually like that song. It's one of the songs I like. And she says something, and forgive me for quoting it wrong, because again, I newly discovered them, so I don't know their songs really well, but something like, he say he hungry and my pussy is all you can eat, or I don't know, the buffet, some shit like that. And to your point, I mean, I'm sure some people like cringe when they hear that because it sounds different coming from a female. It doesn't bother me one bit. It does bother me if that's the only content they have consistently. Which is why I liked Minaj when she first came out. Because, yeah, of course she's going to sing about that. And that doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But she'd also talk about other different messages or stories. And I can appreciate that. But now, recently with Minaj, the reason I'm sick of it is that's all she talks about. And so I'm like, okay, whatever. I know you have other content. Show me that other content. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's gone lazy in her writing. That does have my personal thing. But it's, yeah, but like I said, if it's just that that's the whole thing they're talking about, it's...
But that's why I like Remy, because Remy's hardcore.
Remy is sick. So Remy is bomb. I like her.
Remy and Eve are probably my two favorite female rappers of all time. So from the list of Kim, Elliot, Eve, Brown, and The Stallion, whatever, I'd have to remove The Stallion because she's too new for me to even place in top five right now. So with the exception of her, I'd remove Kim, And blasphemy enough, I would also remove Missy Elliott. She's just not my cup of tea. I don't really care for a lot of her songs. And I'd have to put Remy Ma up there. And I might go with Trina. I see, early Minaj, I would easily place Minaj on that list. Yeah, I'll place Minaj, but with the exception if we look past the past maybe 4 years. So like I guess Minaj, I'll put Minaj up there. Yeah, I know, but still. I think the first half was so good that I'd have to kind of place her up there.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully she just kind of understands that she doesn't have to be... I call it the Wayne effect, the Lil Wayne effect, because that's what he did, and that's what she's doing the same. She's just sticking to one thing. And
the difference is Wayne put out so much like product out there,
yeah,
that I could still look past it because I still had that much more that was actually really good. Typically, the mixtapes are what I really enjoyed from Wayne. But Minaj, for me, doesn't have that. Her features are all essentially the same verse.
Mm-hmm. And that she doesn't have dexterity, or at least she doesn't show it anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if she does show it again, I'm all for it. I mean, that's why a lot of people are jumping off her and trying to go on Cardi B, because Cardi B's trying to...
I forgot about Cardi. Yeah. Maybe she's too new for me to put up there, too, but...
Cardi's been good.
At some point, I may have to put Cardi up there, but I'm waiting for the longevity part.
Yeah, so Cardi's been good. We want to see. Hopefully, she's not just the flavor of the week or years, whatever. Because, I mean, she's shown that she can... She's kind of sticking to a certain theme just over and over again. Hopefully, she'll get past that and do other stuff. So, but
she has a level of consistency, and she's very rudimentary in the way that she approaches the verses, which I think is what you're talking about. So she has a bit more to see if she can switch it up, and I hope to see that change a little bit. But honestly, Megan Thee Stallion, I really hope that she picks better producers and maybe signs. I don't know what label she's signed to, but I would love to see her on a label. It's funny because if Dipset kind of made a comeback, I could honestly see her with Dipset. she could always sign to Roc Nation. Roc Nation always does good with their artists. Even OVO, in a weird way, I actually wouldn't mind seeing her sign under Drake.
No, that wouldn't be bad.
But the songs I like from her, I already mentioned Cash It with DaBaby. She has one called Last Week in H Texas, or HTX, which is Houston. That's where she's from. Freak Nasty and Pull Up Late. But those are the only songs I've really had a chance to listen to from her.
I don't have much for her. I've heard of her. I've heard some parts, but I don't know enough to be like, I like this song, and because either she's on it or if it's just her original song with a feature. So I'll look into her more, and we'll probably talk about it later on some future episode if she becomes big or gets more notoriety. So anyway, so now we're gonna talk. This is our main subject, is that we know that making a song is both simple and complex. Simple because the formula that you have to follow is really easy. You need a beat, you need lyrics, promotion, label, there you go. And whether it succeeds or not, you know, depends on how you achieved those steps and what you did in the, you know, sub-steps or whatever. But it's complex because it's ever-changing, and people change whether they like a certain type of style of rap, of cadence, of beats, of scales, whatever it may be. So it all changes. But the one we wanted to talk about is what is more important in a song. And again, we can put like 50 different things, but the two we want to focus on is lyric and beat.
Yeah, beat, instrumentation. Basically, remove the lyrics, what you hear, that's what we're talking about, that music.
And this in and of itself, it's funny because it's... There's also a lot of complex things going on here, because especially with rap, because rap is so interesting. Because if you look at pop, if you look at rock, a lot of what they try and do is they have producers that obviously that come in here. They wanna make these songs in a certain formula, and a lot of it are in a major bright scale, and 4/4 in that time signature, and a lot of them write their own, well, not the pop artists, but they have people that write music, like original content, original songs. And rap has just a plethora of different things. Like they can do that. They can sample maybe like just a small part of a song like Kanye does that you don't really like connect to the actual song, but you're like, it sounds familiar. Like, why does it sound so familiar?
But they change it so much enough to where you hear the familiarity of it, but it's so unique that it adds extreme value to the song.
Or you completely, or you take the whole song completely, and you're like, yeah, this is a song from Sting, and it's in multiple. Yep, is it Nas? Is it the Uzis? And all here, yeah. So now the question is, which one's more important, beat or lyrics? So. Yeah. Go, Poppy.
I think you were hitting a good point. And I didn't think of bringing that up, but it's unique in hip hop because, as we've always mentioned before, hip hop is really a spoken word, right? That's rap. Rap is the verb. Rap is just a spoken poetry, and because it's only spoken, they have to think of other ways to make it catchy. There's no melody behind the voice. So I think I mentioned it in the last podcast. I can't remember because I didn't listen to it, but rhyme scheme is huge, and there's so much to rhyming. And if you ever want to, take a quick course on Shakespeare, and that alone will teach you so much about writing that even hip-hop adapts to. So there's like the masculine rhyme scheme, or rhyme words, there's the feminine rhyme words, there's the, I forget the specific term, but the way they layer it. So there's even specific phrases for, you actually rhyme the second to last word in that bar versus rhyming the actual last word in the bar. So some of those verses, if you hear it from certain artists, they know how to play those techniques. There's even a unique video that says why Eminem is such a excellent lyricist, which I fully agree with, and they use the song Lose Yourself as an example, and in every single sentence there's like three or four words that rhyme with three or four words in the following sentence. So it breaks it down in a way I think people can digest it and really realize there is far more to it than just what they're saying. Like having the skill set to rhyme every other word from the five previous sentences is honestly a tough thing to do, at least for me it would be. So I don't know how easily that comes to people. So I bring that up because it's not just like people think, oh, music every time. If you think of pop, probably you're going to listen to the music because that's what really catches you. And the chorus might be pretty catchy too, but.
Well, that's what we talk about. Popular songs have to have a hook. They have to have a repetitive nature to it so that people want to keep listening to it over and over again. That's why like a lot of producers, their main focus isn't necessarily the body of the music. It is the hook. What are people going to be chanting? What's going to be stuck in their head for this song for them to always remember?
There's science behind it, right?
Yeah.
Like what does really hits the ear? They have certain keys and chords that they utilize, knowing that scientifically people are drawn to them. So, to get into it, I guess, I don't think I have a solid answer. If I had to kind of maybe summarize, I'm going to go with the instrumentation's probably the most important piece. Because you flow over that, right? That can help dictate the flow of a rapper. Nas is unique because I've always said it before. Nas doesn't really go with the flow of the beat.
Like,
but he makes it sound amazing. And there are other artists that do that as well. But I just think uniquely he does it the best. So I think music is the source of it where it starts. But at the same time, I'm such a lyric guy that I can ignore the beat and listen to a cappella. And it's funny because they have some a cappella hip hop songs. You can YouTube it. I know Tidal has some. I would imagine Spotify does as well. And it becomes poetry at that point, though. The instrumentation always remains music. There's melody, there's a cadence to it, the rhythm. But if you remove the music, it no longer is music. It just is now a poem, which is an art form in and of itself, but it's not strictly music.
It's not something that you would put...
It's not melodic in any way.
There are melodic rappers.
Sure.
You know, and that's a whole other thing that we could tackle for hours and hours. But in specifically talking about rap, it all really boils down to, obviously, comes down to taste. Because if you follow a lot of mainstream stuff, they have this repetitive nature to it. They have a hook or they have something that just they want you to, once you hear, you're like, I know that song instantly. You know, for whatever reason, like I've never even heard the song. I know it's with I think it's featuring Jay-Z, and I said, like, I got the keys. That's all the part I remember, and I can hear it, and I'm like, yeah, that's the part. I got the keys, and it's just a little. It's not even a melodic. It's just I got the keys.
It's
just,
future, yeah. It's just in your face.
Yeah, it's just in your face. You're like, oh, I gotta remember this. Like, and it really comes down to premise because, like you said, like Poppy said, I really like the lyric, the content, because if the content of the song doesn't match the music, it loses that message and it loses my interest.
Yeah.
It happens, or if they try and do something outside of what they normally talk about, and it's so outside the range that you can't take it seriously. Like I said, when Lil Wayne came out with How to Love, I could not listen to it. I was like,
I can't either to this day.
I was like, You had a line that said, as soon as I come to my senses. And all, I could like list tons of stuff. Like, I can't take you seriously about a love song, How to Love by Lil Wayne. No, I can't do that.
Oh, man.
Like I said, if it's outside of it and they can't deliver it well, like, it loses interest in me. Kind of to go into, like, and that's why I have a lot of issues with, now this is not rap particularly, I mean, I know what that's our focus, but like, if you listen to Christian rock, there's a lot of Christian rock that's very screamo and hardcore, and I feel like, and people, like, I listened to your song and it got me through and it got me to find Jesus, I'm like, okay. And on paper, when I look at the lyrics, like, oh, that's cool. When I hear it, like, I don't know what that, how did that message come to that? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And so, and to me, like, the music is very important. I would, 9 out of 10, I'd be like, yeah, that would be over lyrics. But I just have to go in, like, but if the message is just
so off, awful,
like, yeah, it's like, I don't care how catchy the chorus is, like, I can't listen to it.
It's almost like, what's the song? It's actually from Future, and it was Mask Off. You say, yeah, you read it on paper and you like the message, but because of the delivery and the way he does it, you don't like. You even say you like the beat too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just his message. I was like,
I'll say this. It's pretty much an inherently subjective topic, right? Some yeah. people will automatically only look for the music. Some people may automatically only listen to lyrics. Like, if I don't understand what they're saying, or I can't get behind what they're saying, then I don't care. And I'll use kind of the Korean K-pop and stuff that we did, right? It was harder for me to get into. While the production value was fantastic, it sounded good, I still couldn't really understand at its core what they were saying in their own vernacular. So it was tough for me to get into. So I maybe lie on the side of they need to complement each other. And that's what makes certain artists that are phenomenal. They have great beat selection and they know how to maximize that with their lyrics. And some songs focus on the quality of the music over their lyrics, and vice versa. You might have some songs that focus on the lyrics over the beat selection itself. And then sometimes you get that perfect melody, which is what I love the most, is great beat, even if it's stripped down, with a great lyricist. And even venturing outside of hip-hop. So it's funny when people, I hate mumble rap, I don't understand anything they say. And sometimes maybe that be due to the vernacular, the lingo that they're using, like the slang. But Metallica's a very famous band. I don't understand more than 70% of the words that they say. And maybe it's because I'm not used to listening to their music. But to me, my opinion is they focus on, you know, the guitar, the hardcore drumming, and that's the emotion that most people feel. And every once in a while, I'll catch words here and there. But for me, my experience with Metallica is they provide the music through music, and the experience is not through the lyrics. They might have some deep lyrics. I'm sure they do. And then with pop, it's focused, again, on the music piece.
Pop is very clean and cut.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you'll have people in music, they're like, yeah, people with like low intelligence level, they listen to pop. And if you're higher up on the screen, you listen to all these different types of subgenres that they have. And I mean, on a very basic level, it's true. Like, pop isn't meant to be too deep. Not saying that it can't be, because there have been tons of instances where it is, but it's just supposed to be easy to listen to and easily recognize. Like, I recognize, I can totally get what this music, because it's clear and simple that this is what the message is. Whereas other songs that, again, were more lyric driven can have deeper meanings, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's like maybe something interpretation of who's listening to it at that moment.
Yeah.
So it's.
So we'll use, I guess, some hip hop as example. If you have any off the top of your head, I want you to chime in. But the Migos is a perfect example of, they use the music to complement their art style as opposed to their lyrics. No one can tell me they're phenomenally lyrical. I think it's pretty general consensus, unanimous. They're catchy, I'm going to give them that. They have a song called Fight Night, heavy emphasis on the music, not so much the lyrics. I can get behind that. Biggie, on the other hand, he has a stripped down beat, but so that allows the lyrics to shine. So his focus is more so on the lyrical aspect as opposed to the beat. So the song, I think, Niggas Bleed, is a prime example. It's a very stripped down. I think it definitely enhances his lyrics because it sets the tone, because it sounds like kind of dark and ominous for the story that he tells. But again, it's today's agenda. Got the suitcase up into Centra. Like, the music does not overpower his voice at all. The focal point is his voice. And then I think the greatest hip-hop song ever written is Shook Ones Part 2. I don't care how outplayed it is.
but it's Mobb Deep. And that is a perfect, for me, example of the music is complementing the lyrics as a 50-50%, right? Like, it's okay. It's the perfect mesh of everything. And I'll equate it in a weird analogy, like a sandwich or a good burger. Like, to me, that I'm not talking about gluten-free. I'm not talking about people that are watching their carbs. Like, the best burger has to have a bun, but it also has to have great condiments. It has to have great foundation of, like, the patty, the cheese, whatever you like on your burger. Take away one big thing you really enjoy about it, and if it changes the entire experience of eating that burger, then that's the essence of what music is to lyrics. If they're together, phenomenal. You can probably have one without the other, and it's like, okay, it's not bad. It does what I need it to, but when it truly enhances it, that's where I think that the perfect just mesh of both come into play. And that's where I think Shook Ones Part 2 embodies everything that I love about hip hop. And that's why I think that there's not a 4-bar sequence in that song that's trash lyrically. And the beat is so sinister. It's so dark. It's so heavy. And that's what they're portraying in the song. So that's why I think that's the greatest hip hop song ever written.
Okay. I can see that. Mine is actually, I keep thinking of, like, what song do I keep listening to? Like, either it's kind of like that 50-50, like they complement each other so much. And mine, I think it has to do with it, to me, what I like to do in my mind, just in general, like, for whatever reason, I like to, like, create different scenarios, or like, oh, I wonder, like, I wish they made a movie and this song was like the ending credit, because it just fits.
No, I do that all the time too. Yeah.
So I was thinking, because one of my favorite, hip hop artist is Tupac. And I think he has a lot of hits that are not his singles that are really good. But there's one that's called Heaven Ain't Hard to Find. For whatever reason, every time I hear it, I keep thinking, like, man, if this was at the end of like a love comedy or something like that, like, it would work so good. The lyrics just very, very good about him coming with a girl. Maybe she's a little bit worried, and he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna talk with you. I'm gonna make you feel more at ease. And he kind of tells the story, like, from where they're there all the way to the very end of where, like, he gets with her. And for whatever reason, like, I keep thinking, like, that's just like the 90s, like, these 90s rom-coms, like, this song should just play in all of them. And the beat's very, like, it's very synthesized. It's very upbeat. And the way that his rhyme scheme, the way that he's telling the story, just fits very perfectly with that song. And despite me liking, you know, California Love, liking all his other songs, for whatever reason, I'm always drawn to that song. And just, like, to me, it just feels like it's so well balanced. And maybe you don't like Tupac, maybe you don't like the sound, the beat that they use, whatever. But to me, it just fits perfectly. Like, this is like the 90s rap. Like, right here is, like, you know, he had his gangster partner, which he puts in there a little bit, but he also has, like, what was happening at the time, like, what type of movies were very popular. So to me, it just encompassed all that and just was a nice little ball of, here's in the late 90s. This is, even though he died in the mid 90s, but, like, this is what it encompasses. Like, it's like looking through like a mirror, like, in time, and looking at the 90s, like, that's what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, and I never said I didn't like Tupac. I just don't think.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
he's not my favorite, and I don't think that musically he is the best. Again, his presence and influence is number one. I can't argue that. But and you brought a good point again, the time in what it was. And I think that's probably why I feel that the 90s and the early 2000s is what I would call the golden age of hip hop, because it consistently focused on both aspects, being the beat and the instrumentation with the lyrics, and whatever the lyrics be, right? If it was gangster, if it was the backpack stuff, it was the uplifting MC stuff in terms of getting people up and going. And I'll use Dipset, because I don't consider Dipset, like, the most amazing. And they're not mainstream by any means. I think some people know. Cam'ron is one of them. Jules Santana. And then Jim Jones. But Diplomatic Immunity is actually a great album. And they have a song called Dipset Anthem. And it's, like, almost like fanfare. Dun, da, 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 dun, dun, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. And the lyrics match kind of the beat. And again, it's an exact example as to how they complement each other. And when I think of all the songs that are the biggest hits in hip hop industry in the 2000s and early 2000s and 90s, it was exactly that. It was a fine balance between one doesn't outshine the other in terms of beat, doesn't outshine the lyrics. They had to both bring both 100%. Now what we're seeing, which is maybe what a lot of people complain about, is trash rappers that are being carried solely by the beat.
Yeah, solely by the beat or by the not the environment.
Shock
the,
value.
The shock value, the atmosphere that it brings.
Yes.
And I think that's why some people are really drawn to it, because like they have these dark minor scale, these undertones that are just very like, I want to say menacing is too hard of a word, but it's like there, it's like brooding there. And you have these rappers that are very like, they don't sound boring, but they sound like they're just like this. And so it kind of fits the atmosphere that the beat's creating. And so people like that, like, oh, it's meshing well, but either the lyric is either heavily put on the back burner or the beat just doesn't work with what the message is, the person's trying to do. And so it's kind of odd because you have like this imbalance, I want to say right now, because it's hip hop is at its highest it's ever been. But like in terms of people who are hip hop enthusiasts from like the beginning, there's like this huge dissension, this huge ripple where they're like, they either are really for it or really against it.
It's very unbalanced at the moment, for sure. And I'll agree to that. And to give, I guess, an answer, I don't want to fence it this one because I think it's pretty, I'm going to go with the thing that, I don't want to say makes a song, but here's my argument point. You can have a phenomenal lyricist. Let's put Jay in there. Let's put Big Pun, Nas, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, whoever. And this will prove, I think, your point specifically with J. Cole. Phenomenal lyricist. If the music isn't catchy enough to even complement by any means what it was, then that ruins the song. Mm-hmm. You could have awful lyrics. And again, the example I'm going to use is the Migos. They have shit lyrics. But some songs, and I'll give you one song from there that I actually, it's one of the new songs I came across, is absolute trash lyrics, but because the beat is so good, you just enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So awful lyrics don't always break a song. I'm definitely going to go with awful production quality always ruins a song, regardless of how good the lyrics are.
Okay. I'm going to go with that too. It's just, I don't know. My mind's all jumbled up with just thinking about it, just because it keeps swaying back and forth. But like, I think if the production's bad, you're not going to listen to it.
I'll use my burger analogy. If you have like the phenomenal patty, whatever you prefer as your patty, your cheese, your lettuce, the onion, tomato, and you just slap some Wonder Bread hot dog onto it, like that's going to be a shitty burger, like overall for me. This is not as good as it could be. I'd rather have it without the bun. But once you put the bun on it, it elevates. You know, it's ruined the burger.
Well, if it comes with sliced bread.
Yeah, but sliced bread, yeah. Like, if you do brioche or something nice and buttery and has the kind of like the almost a flaky exterior with a nice fluffy interior, that burger is just elevated. It's nice and it holds it together. And so, it's a weird analogy, but I'm going to use that. The music will always make or break a song, but mm-hmm. the lyrics don't always do that.
Yeah, so beat is, ultimately, I think, is the deciding factor. Like if we had to choose one, it's gonna be beat, because that you play a beat for like 2 seconds with no lyrics, most people are gonna get that. Some words, like even if you hear a song, someone playing it, like not the actual recording, but someone playing on a guitar, playing piano, you instantly know it. Sometimes with lyrics, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
you can read it, be like, this could be like 50 songs, I don't know which one it is. So beat is also, I think, ultimately is the deciding factor. And
to justify my burger analogy, not that there's anything wrong with not having bread, that just makes it salad for me. And salad isn't really a good entree. It's a side dish that comes with the real food. So fuck salad as its own meal, just not as a normal meal. Okay. You know what I mean? That's why I think it's shitty. Okay. Is it reasonable? Sure. It's not what you want.
If people get mad about your burger analogy, well, what about the people cutting gluten? Fudge them right now. This is a burger analogy.
Use a cauliflower bread, whatever the fuck that is.
No, I'm using cauliflower for rice, nothing.
Actually like cauliflower, but it's not a good substitute. That's,
I ain't using like for rice. So when they, sorry, this is off topic here, but when, I think it was your brother, it was you who's talked about like they had the cauliflower.
Buffalo wings. That's like, me. No! That's me. Yeah. But yeah, I always like to bring, and hopefully I've been doing it every episode, but a new song that new to me. It doesn't mean it's a new song. It's a song I discovered recently. I guess it's been out since January, but it's Pure Water, and it's DJ Mustard with the Migos. And it's basically just a party anthem, and it's just really good. I want to dance to it every time I hear it. So that's the one I'm going to plug in for this episode. DJ Mustard has slowly been climbing the ranks for me for favorite producer. Really? He has some great production value. And I'm going to watch him very closely now as time goes by, because he's consistently put out stuff. I'm like, this is a solid beat. It has the climax. It has a part where it subdues so that the lyrics can shine. It's just good stuff. So
mine is actually, I don't know why I liked it, but the baby song Walker Texas Ranger. At first, the name got me. I was like, Walker Texas Ranger. What the heck?
Chuck Norris.
Chuck. No, yeah, that's what I was thinking. But I listened to it, I was actually like, oh, okay. I just kind of nodded my head to it. I was like, this is actually not that bad. So I'd say check that one out. I didn't like Shug too much.
I didn't like Shug too much either. But again, 21 for sure is a song that's it's a banger type music or banger type song. Again, party anthem type of thing. Just really fun to listen to and dance to. But.
Yeah. So go ahead and listen to those. Let us know what you think about the beats versus lyrics, or which one's more important. Because there's a case for each of them.
There is. It's, again, subjective. I'm going to side on the side of music.
Yeah. So I'm going to side on that too. But if you feel something's different, let us know. Again, there's like 50 other things we could talk about. Like we talked about production, but other stuff that we can talk about, the way the singles are versus versus on the album. But anyway, so let us know and we'll respond if we get any response. And
go ahead, sorry.
Nope. And I was just gonna say, if you want us to talk about anything, just email us at hiphopsoiree2018@gmail.com.
And if you want a topic to be a bit more specific, if you're trying to think of something you want to send us but you're not sure what to, send us names of hip-hop artists you want us to review. I don't care how mainstream they are or how not. I'm happy to go and review it. I know DJs as well. So whoever it is, have us review it. So far, we've done reviews on DMX and Drake. So whoever, we plan on doing it maybe once a month.
But please don't make me look 30 minutes through SoundCloud to find your SoundCloud rapper. I don't want to do that.
A readily accessible one, please. Yeah, that's our only request. If it's someone who has 20 views, or include the link if you want to on YouTube.
That's fine.
I don't want to have to dig extensively for their discography. I want it to be readily available on some sort of platform.
Yep. So thanks so much for listening to Hip Hop Soiree. This is DJ Goose.
And this is Poppy.
And we'll see ya.